Good morning, Achum, good Arab Shabbos, everybody. Tomorrow we have the privilege of reading Parshas Vayechi. Wow, this is Parshas Chazak. We have the privilege of finishing the book of Bereishis. Now, there is so much to talk about. Let's talk a little at the very beginning of Parshas Vayechi. Certainly we know that in this Parsha Yaakov gives the bracha to Ephraim and Menashe, elevating Yosef to a bit of a higher status. Two Shvatim come from Yosef, and two portions in Eretz Yisrael. Next, the idea of Yaakov blessing each of his children, and what seems on the surface that with several of them, as in Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, it does not appear to be a bracha. So the rabbis point out that pointing out to a individual what his areas of deficiency are, and that he has the potential to work on them, this is exceedingly important to the development of the individual, and therefore it is called a bracha to each and every one of them, charting a positive way of living their life. I'd like to begin with the opening paragraph of the Parsha. In the second verse, the Torah tells us, "Vayikrevu Yemei Yisrael Lamus." The time approached for Yisrael, for Yaakov, to die. Vayikra, right? And what does the Torah say? That, just one second, the Torah says, Yosef was informed, Hine Avicha Chole. This is the first pasuk of chapter 48. Okay, now what does the word Hine mean? Hine is translated as behold. Now what does that mean, behold? So our rabbis tell us that behold is woe, something unexpected, something most unusual. Vayiva boker vihine hileya. Yaakov wakes up in the morning, and to his great surprise, it's not Rachel that he married the night before, but it's Rachel. I'm sorry, it's not Rachel, but it's Leah. Clearly, hine, whoa, wow. Here too, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Pevav Amar Aleph, learns, hine avicha chole, whoa, this is something new, that Yaakov Bikesh, he asked for chulsha, he asked that there be weakness, sickness, some sign of deterioration, that a person should have the understanding that they are approaching their end, so that they can get their house in order. They can make sure that they have in proper place their last will and testament. So the first thing that I'd like to remind everybody is everybody should be blessed with arichas yomim v'shanim, longevity, but it's very important to have a halachic living will. And what does that mean in simple English? It means that should an individual be in a situation where, Rachmana Litzlan, they are no longer in a position to make exceedingly important decisions regarding their end of life, that these decisions should not be left open, unanswered, as to, unfortunately, leaving often time, as I have seen too many times in personal experience, children well-meaning, arguing, and sometimes ferociously, as to whether or not to, quote, pull a plug, as to whether or not resuscitate. And these are not questions that should be left to a layman. These are questions that should be resolved by a Rav who's knowledgeable in these areas. So I certainly recommend both the Rabbinical Council of America and the living will of the Aguda, which clearly has the person identify who is in charge to make the decisions at a time when he is no longer able to so do. This is so important. I cannot stress it enough. And Baruch Hashem, many people, you know, put this in the back burner. It's, you know, Baruch Hashem, we think we're going to live forever, and this is something which should be taken care of. So just as Yaakov Avinu davened to Hashem, please give me some indication, so we too want to prepare to the best of our ability, if we can, to certainly purchase our own grave, as we find the Avos did, that we should not have to impose this kind of additional burden on one's family. Okay, now, moving on, let's understand what today is. Today is a special day. It's Friday, Erev Shabbos, Parshas Vayechi, but it's also Asorah, B'Teves. It's also the day that Hashem said to the Navi Yechezkel, who was already in Bavel, and there in Bavel said to the people, Be'etzem Ayom Azeh, write this down, that on this very day, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel, put a siege around Yerushalayim, and that siege lasted for approximately 2.5 years, and after that, what happened was, unfortunately, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Now, the halacha is that all healthy, able-bodied male and female are to fast. Children, girls below 12, boys below 13, even a few months before the bar mitzvah and bas mitzvah, are not obligated. Interestingly, because we are an optimistic people, these are days of mourning, avail us, and we don't want to train children in avail us, because not only is it, thank God, not common, but Emir Tzashem, take a look, everybody, in the book of Yechezkel, chapter 8, Pasuk 18, the Navi says that these four fast days, the fast day of Tzom HaRevi, which is Shavuot B'Tammuz, Tzom HaChamishi, which is Tisha B'Av, Tzom HaShvi, which is Tzom Gedalia, Tzom HaAsiri, Asorah B'Teves, today, one day, these days, the Navi promises us, strong word, will be Sason Mesimcha, will be holidays. But until that time, and especially Lo Aleinu, in our time today, we fast on these days. Now, there's no question about it that fasting is important. If one is not able to fast, they should not fast. So if doctor says don't, don't. But otherwise, one is obligated. And interestingly, this is the only fast that can occur on a Friday. No other fast can occur on a Friday. And the reason why we fast even on a Friday, as the Avud Raham says, that if Asara B'Teves were to fall on a Shabbos, as we said last week, we would even fast on Shabbos. It never can. That's the way our calendar has been set up. But the reason for that is, and while we're fasting today, and we don't eat until we make Kiddush tonight, is because of the words Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. The Navi was told to write down specifically, exactly, on this very day. Okay, now the Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchos Tanis that we are to fast on these days. And this is a number one, he says, is a mitzvah from the Torah, that at a time of, God forbid, war, pestilence, crisis in the Jewish community, when we have the Chatzot Rose, we are to blow. But the point is, this is a day of tshuva, that when terrible tragedies occur to the Jewish people, we are to cry out to Hashem and to recognize that this is not just happenstance, just so happens that every once in a while there's a tragedy. No. This, unfortunately, can only cause greater tragedy. But rather, the Rambam writes that we are to look upon these occurrences as coming from Hashem, who is noting for us our shortcomings, and each individual is to do tshuva on this day. And a person shouldn't say to himself, I'm pretty good. Forget about looking at others. Come on. No one's perfect. I'm pretty okay. So I'd like to point out a very interesting idea from the Lev Shalom, the late Magid of Yerushalayim, Rav Shalom Shvadran Zatzal, who notes that on the Pasuk, when Yaakov blesses Yehuda, he says, Miteref b'ni Elisa, and Yaakov gives credit to Yehuda for saving Yosef. Rashi brings on this spot, B'ni Elisa, you withdrew from your brothers, and you said, Ma betza, what it be to be gained? By killing him, let us sell him. So he is the one who is attributed, even interestingly more than Reuven, for saving Yosef. Now, so too from having Tamar killed, when he said, Tzadka Mimeni. So the idea is that Yehuda had this ability to change his mind. He had this ability to understand that there's another way of looking at things. And he acted and changed his former mindset This is to be learned as the bedrock and the essence of Asara B'Teves. The people, unfortunately, when the siege was placed around Yerushalayim, did not come to the realization that we must change our ways. And therefore, people should use this day to look into themselves and say, yes, I'm not so bad, but there is room for improvement. Each person knows the areas of deficiency and flaw in his life, and they have to work on them, especially today, Asara B'Teves. So I know it's a short Friday, and everybody, Baruch Hashem, is busy with preparation for Shabbos, but when you hear this, try to find those few moments where you can actually stop, quote, look and listen, and see what's going on in your life. It's incumbent upon me that given in this week's parasha, Yaakov makes the preparation and shows the concern that every detail should be taken care of for his funeral prior to his passing, making Yosef swear that he will not bury him in Egypt, but rather in Hebron, in Oras HaMachpelah. And Yosef says, Anochi, he swears, Eseked Vorecha, I will literally follow your instructions, or as others learn, I will do this as well. And Yosef, at the very end of Parshas Vayechi, charges Bnei Yisrael that when they leave Mitzrayim, they should please take Atzmos Yosef, his remains, with them, which we know that Moshe had the privilege to do, and that as a result, Hashem Yisborach himself buries Moshe. I want to speak just for a moment or two of the importance that it's not a custom to bury in the ground. It's halacha, Jewish law. Please, we all know individuals who might very well be well-meaning, but they should know that cremation is asur, prohibited from the Torah. Torah teaches at the end of chapter 3 in Bereishis, ki ofer atah, v'el ofer toshuv, you come from the earth, you're going to be returned to the earth, and the concept is that we look upon the body as nothing less than holy, because the body is the one that housed and implemented the positive aspects of the neshama. Observance of Torah and mitzvos is done with the body as the neshama hatahora, the pure soul that is within man, is the one which is guiding him in that direction. So, interestingly, the Chevra Kadisha, which is involved, men for men, women for women, with the preparation of the deceased for burial, and I can only tell you, having been to many taharos in my career, that the procedure of the tahara is done with such dignity and with such concern and keeping the deceased in a very respectful manner the entire time. The Talmud in the first chapter of Ksubos says, from the days of Rabbi Gamliel and onward, all Israel, men, women, are buried in tachrichin, special burial shrouds, which are similar to the garments that a Kohen wore, thus clothing the body in holy garments. Interestingly, there is the minhag of those buried outside of Israel, that there's some earth of Israel scattered in the coffin. Literally, two sticks are placed in the hands of the deceased. The idea being, we close the coffin and we say, you are, please God, ready to go. There will be Tchiyas HaMesim. And as Rashi quotes, Yaakov had three different reasons for not being buried in Mitzrayim. One of them was that at the time of Tchiyas HaMesim, he would be already in Eretz Yisrael. There's so much more to say, but I believe that everybody should take this to heart and please communicate to especially friends and family at the time when lo aleinu, and it is something that most families face, it's only a question of time, that you be prepared for it. Once again, each one should fill out a halachic will, leaving not to chance, but leaving to direction who will make the decisions. Will it be based upon what a human being feels is best for the occasion? After all, who loves a parent more than a child? But when there's more than one child, and especially if there's a difference of opinion based on the exact observance of Torah law, or one's feelings and compassion to avoid this terrible potential machlokes, please make sure that you have a halachic living. Okay, I take this, everybody, to wish them a meaningful fast today. We fast until Kiddush tonight, number one. And number two, it should be a meaningful fast. And please God, the sorrows that we are experiencing, especially in Eretz Yisrael, should speedily come to a close. We should be zoche to see Yeshuos, Nechamos, good decrees, consolation for all of Klal Yisrael, b'mheira b'yameinu. Chazak chazak v'nis chazek. Shabbat shalom to all.